إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله in the continuation of the Muslim family and how to build the Muslim family. Very much we finished this segment about what is the character of the Muslim or what it's supposed to, the purpose of the message of Islam, and also I talked about the approach that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to move in it, and that was Surah Al-Asr. And now we are getting ready for marriage as individual. How do you know that you are ready for marriage? There are hadiths of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we all know about it. What I want to do is I want to share with you some of the focal point that we supposed to have in mind when we are about that, going to marriage. Number one, we need to understand, as long as the Muslim have only one goal in his life, or has only one goal in his life, which is qualified to Allah, mercy in this life and hereafter, here it comes with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a form of marriage. Find you a partner. So what is the marriage or the marriage contract? It is a holy contract, holy commitment between a man and a woman, Muslim man and Muslim woman, that they both will help each other to qualify to Allah mercy. That's the purpose. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about the hereafter is saying what? La ansaba baynahu. Everyone on his own. There is no son, daughter, father, mother, wife. La ansaba baynahu. So it is a temporary contract. That's the second part that you have to keep in mind. Another thing you have to keep in mind, you don't get married because you want to get married. Maybe you want to get married. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy that He is making the marriage visible to you and possible, and at things, the process you can understand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Shura, هُوَ الَّذِي يُزَوِّجَكُمْ ذُكْرًا وَإِنَاسًا. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes the means for the man and woman to get married. That means what is the message in it? Or what we supposed to know, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, your spouse, either she's a woman or the man, that means I am giving you the combination that if you know how to follow, if you're going to follow the instructions in it, this is the best combination psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually, that it will help you to fulfill your goal, to qualify to Allah mercy. So, a lot of people say, I could've, I should've, I whatever they push. No, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's selection. Use it, do not abuse it. Allah knows your combination, knows your combination, and He knows the other combination, and He knows both of them. If they do it right, that's the best going to come out of both. So now we know the contract. Part of the validation of that contract for the valid is the acceptance of the woman by her own free will. And basically, the initiation of the marriage contract started by the woman. زوجتك نفسي. That means I am accepting you as a husband. What accepting you as a husband means? It's supposed to be for the one who is really focused and getting ready to build a family. I trusted you to help me out. And as long as it is a contract between partner, that means what? There is no superior and inferior. For us to understand the Sharia, we have to look at it from the three major perspectives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the law sometimes in a human level. And there is no such thing called male and female there. There is only human being. يا أيها الناس, O mankind. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O who believe. Even the legislation. There are some parts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the second level, make it exclusive to meet the nature, like the exemption to the sisters in the case of the monthly period or after giving birth from some of the obligations. So that's the second level. But that does not give inferiority or superiority. And the third level, which they call special cases, like what? The law of inheritance. Allah, in the law of inheritance, there is nothing left there for you and me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the possibilities and this is the way it's supposed to be handled. The case is closed. So when we come, it is a partnership. That means what? وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have the rights and they have obligations. You have a right and you have obligations. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, it will be another khutbah about the rights and obligation of each. But what we want to know now is I want to, inshallah, concentrate on a verse in the Holy Quran that constitute focus, scope, the marriage. Now we know it is a holy, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selection, and the purpose of it is to help each other. Okay, not that I like you or you, I hate you and whatever. That and it is in a temporary basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Nur, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, from his signs, from ayat, which is you can physically see and realize, that he created from your own soul, from among yourselves, your own spouses. But what did they constitute this relationship? He said, the constitution of this relationship is two major dimensions, or if you may say, tracks. Those are the major guarantee. These are the two that guarantee that you have a successful marriage. And based on what I'm going to share with you today, if you have any deficiency in any given marriage, you will see a deficiency in one of the elements, inshallah, that I will be talking about. But first of all, we have to understand what the word mawadda mean and what the word rahma mean. So we can find out exactly, because that's going to trigger how the perception, how I see and function with the other party. We know that based on the cultures and traditions and whatever, one dominate. We know that most of the problems that is happening in the family is the fight for domination. And that's not the purpose of marriage. And that's not the whole entire thing. And a bleeding both. And somebody else will pay the consequence of that marriage. Somebody else will pay the price for that. They will pay and also the consequence, which is the children and whomever they are dealing with. But let us go back to our subject. Al-Mawadda wal-Rahma. Al-Mawadda, it is the highest level of friendship. And what is the highest level of friendship? That means I am recognizing the differences between us and I'm willing to respect it. I don't want you to be a copy of me. And I'm not going to be a copy of you either. So to have a buddy-buddy relationship, no. You have your character, I have my character. But the difference is between us, when we learn how to respect it and honor it, as long as it is not forbidden, you have a mawadda. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, listen, dominating will not fulfilling the purpose, will defeat the purpose. What is the second part, which is al-rahmah, the blessing? Mawadda wa rahmah. What does the word rahmah means? Rahmat means the first part of it, the ability to prevent harm to the other part. Preventing harm, that's the first part. And what is the second part of the rahmah? Is to predict the need and what's good for the second party and give it to them before they ask for it. So you as a husband or as a wife, your job is not to dominate or to prove anything, but your job, if you are a believer, is to do what? To prevent the harm from happening from your partner, predict by their need or his need, give it to them before they ask for it. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starting Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, that means he is the one who preventing the harm. Give us the need before we ask for it. Imagine for a second that Allah will give you air when you ask for it. What would be your case? Allah providing before you ask. Before even you know that you need. That's the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is giving you what you need before you ask for it, and in most of the cases before you realize that even you will need that. So now these two major, al-mawadda wal-rahma, they are the main backbone of the marriage. Now we want to get that if for a successful marriage. And remember, it is on a temporary basis. Now, for this to take place, to have in the relationship based on mawadda and rahmah, there are 7 elements must exist. 7 elements that must exist. Number one, okay, what I'm going to try to do, inshallah, I'm going to cover as much as I can, but at the same time, each one of the elements that I'm talking about, it has more than one khutbah by its own self. If you need to ask, you can ask me after the khutbah, inshallah, but what I'm going to try to put the 7 in a perspective, just as we all share it and we all know it. Number one, you have to spend the effort to be the best friend to your partner or your spouse. And that will never happen till you realize there are already differences and learn how to respect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Surah Al-Layl, وَخَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى وَإِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. He created male and female, and your perspective to life is different. They are different. I'm going to give you very quick. Pain make the woman passionate. The same pain make the man angry. When a kid in home crying, who get passion and want to stop it? Stop the crying, the mother. Who get angry and get rid of that, see what he wants, get him out of another room, I want to sleep, whatever, the father. Take that in all aspects of life, not only in this incident. But you have to learn. Don't expect your spouse to think and feel your way, because this is not what it meant it to be. You have to know the differences and learn how to respect it. Now you're going to have a friend. The second, sincerity. Sincerity means what? Sincerity, that means what's in your heart, that's how you're supposed to behave. You do not manipulate. You do not dominate. You do not cheat. You do not take advantage. because you are betraying your contract. You do not make yourself superior, and you do not even submit to be inferior, because you are not helping anybody if you do that. So that's the second, sincerity. I am focused, what's my goal? My spouse focused in what is the goal? And after that we do what? We both meet. The third element, promoting good and fight evil. My spouse responsible, because my spouse committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to be the first source for me to know if what I'm doing is right or wrong. I'm going to be the first source to help me out to be more obedient. Promoting good and fighting evil. This nation is going down by the miles in a fraction of a second because there is nobody in it. We don't have the obligation of promoting good and fighting evil as a mechanic in our life, controlling the relationship between us. We see something wrong and we turn our back. How are you going to have successful anything? So my spouse, this is my mirror to show me what's the deficiency, what is wrong, and help me out. There is a lot of incidents. Look at the life of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of the time he got the major support to move on. Some major decision to move on. Where is that came from? It came the support from the wife. First one from Khadija bint Khuwaylid radwanullahi alayha. Another incident from Zainab bint Jahsh radwanullahi alayha. So that's the sincerity. The element number four, loyalty. And loyalty got two parts. The first part of it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clear said, these are the rights and obligation of a husband. These are the rights and obligation of a wife. You have a marriage contract, they will be delivered. Are we angry with each other? Yes. Fighting? Yes. Mad at each other? Why not? Who is not? That's life. But these rights and obligation must be fulfilled. It is not left to your convenience and her convenience. It is obligation. You have to fulfill. The second part of the loyalty is what you commit yourself to your spouse. If you promise that you will do anything to your spouse, you must do your best to fulfill that. Element number five, sacrifice. If you are in your own, living on your own, it is understandable. You are number one. You go out there to accomplish 100% of your convenience. But when you are two, what are you going to do? Sorry, you are not number one. You have to understand that the house only got one number one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, as long as you are dealing with others, period. Regardless who is that others is, gonna happen conflict of interest. There is no other way. I wanna come in here to the masjid 12 o'clock. Somebody else say it is not convenient, why should I bother? I wanna come in one. Then it gonna have to be a conflict of interest. So between you and between your spouse gonna have to be a conflict of interest. Now your job is, what are we going to do about that? Are we going to dominate on my way or highway? or keep pushing and intimidating to get your way, that's not a marriage contract. That's a slavery contract. Nice, neat slavery contract. And Allah did not create the slaves. Allah created a free people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and honored. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ All the son of Adam, we give them honor. So you are trusted with the responsibility, and now you are twisting it and use it for your own convenience. How is that going to work? You have to sacrifice. I want you to imagine what will happen if in any given issue I am willing to sacrifice to accommodate my spouse, and my spouse at the same time willing to accommodate to make me happy. I'm trying to make her happy and she's trying to make me happy. Where are we going to end? Both happy. That's where the rahmah it comes from. You have the aptitude to do it. That's number five. You are required to sacrifice in the marriage relationship without disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when it comes to that line, no one to cross. No one to cross. We just don't do it, we don't go there. When you say you are making your spouse happy, in the account of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you betrayed your spouse, you betrayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start with, put yourself in a state of disobedience, and you dishonored and you disobeyed yourself, you betrayed yourself. And you will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of anyone. But that one will punish you. And please sit down and think about it and see examples from your life. You will never, I'm going to repeat it, you will never ever disobey Allah to please anyone, but you will end up getting hurt from that one. And you will get disrespected from that one. And when you come and talk about the children, we will find out the people that coming and running and say, my child is obedient, my child do that, my child do that. And I say, wait a minute. This all is symptoms to your disobedience to Allah. Maybe there is nothing wrong with the child. But when you feed them haram, unlawful, the first sign of a disobedience to the source. And rebellion against the source. So you will never, in the concept of sacrifice, you will never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please anyone, but you're going to end up getting hurt and humiliated and whatever from that person or from this group or whatever that is. Okay. Element number six. The element number six is the economic support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory on the man to go out there and earn living. That's the major obligation. So women are not responsible for spending home. Even if they are rich, even if they have income, even if that income equal or greater than whatever the man made, they can participate anytime, they can pull it anytime, they can stop it anytime. That's what the Sharia guarantee to them. They are not responsible. But in return, what is their responsibility? The best management to the available resources. You live within the mean of what the man bring. If you have something and you can participate, alhamdulillah. If you go outside to work,
When there is no compromise to the husband right and your right and the children right and you think that you can bring some, you want to participate by some or whatever that is, that's the special cases that I was talking about. Some of the special cases, aspects of it. That's your business. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all mercy, He knows in that structure, you get sick every month, few days. There is a pregnancy, you can get be sick more than that. There is a delivery, there is a nursing, there is a raising, and that's all overwhelming to a human being, a woman. And after that, go and earn a living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. But what she is responsible for? The best management. The best management. You do not push your husband to go for two jobs or to steal or to do something wrong so you will be look like your friends or you because that's what you want. No. That's not rahmah. That's not mercy. Remember, rahmah is what? Preventing harm. The first aspect of it, preventing harm. When the man is pushed to do two jobs, that's not preventing harm. That's against nature. Because that time belongs to the child, belongs to his family. When I mean his family, his parents, I mean belong to the wife or to the husband or whatever. So here, the economic support or the economic relationship. The last element, which is the natural, biological relationship between the man and the woman. All I can say about it in this area, these both of them, they have to realize and understand that this relationship belongs to both. And both have needs. And these needs must be respected. These needs must be respected. So this relationship does not belong to the man and does not belong to the woman, but belong to both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And there is so many hadith from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is teaching us and show us how to approach that type of relationship. You have to understand that this is a mutual interest and you have to realize the needs of your spouse, recognize it, and here it comes the part. Providing, the first part of the mercy is to do what? Stopping her and expecting, foreseeing the needs of your spouse and give it before they ask for it. From adab al-zawaj, from al-adab, from what we learn from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the attitude of Sahaba that they inherited the Jews of the Sunnah and the use of the Quran, there are a fiqh or how to go to sleep. How the man go to sleep and how the woman go to sleep. This is, like I said, each one of those elements is a fiqh by its own. But here, using this relationship, and especially this relationship, to use it as a bargaining chip, to push or to pressure your spouse, or intimidate your spouse to get what you want, there is so many hadiths on this area. So many hadiths. This is one of a really very important thing. You never use this relationship, either man or woman. You never ever use this relationship to be a bargaining chip
get what you want.
There are a certain times, and they are very vivid and clear in Sharia. Very vivid and clear. About 5 major reasons to when to say no. And how to say it very politely. Other than that, like I said earlier, everything is supposed to be mutual interest and a mutual respect to each other. There is no force, there is no intimidation, there is no unnecessary pressure, all of that thing. And this not to be used, or not to be ignored. There is a certain limit to abandon your bed. And you know what I mean, abandon your wife. After that, this abandonment can be a legitimate reason for divorce. These all the things that you have to have in your mind. You want a successful marriage, you have to fulfill those 7 points. You have a deficiency in your marriage, or God forbid, I don't mean your marriage, your marriage, but if you want to see a deficiency in any given marriage, look at those 7 points. And you will find right away it's going to have to be some deficiency somewhere. One or more of those elements is not get fulfilled or got compromised or is not active. That's automatically hit the structure, the organization that it called marriage. So we have to be very, very important. It is very important for us to understand that your spouse in your life to help you, not to serve you. What constitutes this? وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. In that level, human level, they have the same right, they have the same obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. What is this daraja? One step, it is the management step. Management step, that does not mean that superior or inferior. That does not mean, when I listen to my manager, I do not. That does not mean he is better than me, or I am better than him. It is a matter of we both cooperate. I got a job to do. He got a job to do, or she got a job to do, and the job will never be done without the cooperation of both. We can talk, but somebody final gonna have to take a decision. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this daraja, why? بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ is what? Means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them more logic, more dry logic. Yes and no, yes and no. Because one of the major reasons for this type of mentality is the overall protection of the family. And give the woman more passion to manage the affair of the family. So you need both. You need the protection to the family and you need the passion within the family. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا. But there is no superiority and there is no inferiority. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah to bless us and bless our families and help us to be very kind to our own spouses and help us to fulfill the mission of our life, which is to live in His mercy and to die in His mercy. And inshallah, the hereafter will be in His mercy and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at paradise. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له
وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. The last thing that I want to say is that we know a requirement to the marriage, and we know the seven major elements for successful marriage. There is only one point, one question that you have to ask yourself. Am I qualified to get married? When I know that I am qualified to get married, in this area, that means when I say qualified to get married, that means there are four elements must exist. Number one, the physical fitness. Number two, the mental fitness. In the physical fitness and the mental fitness, that's including both the ability to make a family financial, the spiritual elements, which is the knowledge. How is this going to be constituted? How is the family going to be constituted? Number four, healthy conscience will trigger promoting good and fighting evil. If you have the three, and the Muslim, can you imagine? Body, I don't care what you feed that body, but that body does not have a nervous system. The nervous system of any given thing in our life is a promoting good and fighting evil. Imagine a body is growing muscles or whatever, and it doesn't have a nervous system. What is that body can do? Nothing. It's dead. So based on those measures, that is a kind of, it is not a tablet, but there are certain things that you have to keep. You know yourself, and you know if you are able or not. As Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a lot of hadith, but because of the time, من استطاع منكم الباء فليتزوج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصيام. If you are able, get married. If you are not, fast. We are, when you are adult, there are five categories. You have to find yourself, where are you? The first category is you have to get married. There is no other way. Because if you don't get married, you will do wrong. You're going to do wrong. That's the way it is. We are being created different. You have to be married. I don't mean man. I mean man and woman. The second level is recommended. You have the means. You have the possibilities. You have everything available. So you are encouraged in this case. And you're going to see a lot of hadith in this area. It helps you to encourage you when you are able to do what? To get married. Or by other word, not to be selfish and live for yourself. And there are some in the third level, which is you are okay. It is okay to do it, and it is okay to not to do it. That means what? You're still fighting with some of the elements, the major elements. You are working, but you don't have enough income for the family. Right? There are some kind of, so it is kind of equal to get married or not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permission will lead you to the right thing. The fourth one is it is not recommended to get married. I have one of the spouses 70 years old and the other one 20 years old. How is that going to work? I have somebody very poor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tell me that in a second. That's not the issue. What we are dealing about, remember, spouse of my life, to help me to be more obedient to Allah. Not because I love my spouse, I should love my spouse, and this is how it's going to work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the mahabbah, who will put the love day in and day out. But in this case, it is not recommended to get married. Somebody have a lot of disease, cannot function. Not recommended. And the last level, it is a crime to get married. It is a crime to get married. It is a sin to get married. Somebody has a permanent contagious disease, like AIDS. That's attempt of murder. You are killing your partner. There is not much difference between putting a bullet or getting a knife or having that contagious disease. So you have to stay away from the concept of marriage. Accept Allah the Creator in your life and to stay away from the concept of marriage. So that's a very much so kind of overview, very quick overview about marriage, when you are getting ready to marriage, what is supposed to be in your mind when you are getting to do, when you're supposed to say, yes, I am ready for it now, or I am not ready, or what is missing. And here's my commitment that I'm committing myself to do when I get into that marriage. And you do not forget to make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. Because to make the long story short, one of the signs of acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to give you a good wife. If you have a good wife, based on the standard that I said, be very grateful and thankful to Allah. I want to finish the khutbah by saying one thing. Ittaqillah in your spouse. You've been trusted with your wife. And you've been trusted with your husband. Trusted. Most of the social problems or the marriage problem, one of the partner coming and say, I don't get. In one of the seven. I don't get. You are looking to yourself and what you want. But no one come and say, I have a problem because I want to give. All the time your problems, I want to take. I want to get. She is no good or he is no good. Why? You hear it. You have open list. Remember what I said a few minutes ago. Your spouse is your mirror. If you see any deficiency in your spouse, take a minute, because that's the deficiency on you, not in your spouse. It can be both lack of knowledge. It can be lack of commitment. It can be whatever misunderstanding to the nature and the action and reaction. There is no friendship. There is no tolerance. There is no sacrifice. And in this case, you are hitting where you will never ever fulfill the purpose of the marriage, which is Allah gives you and gives me in a temporary basis. Go back. If you want to really do good, you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realize your responsibility and take care of your family. And the first step to take care of your family, go and take care of your spouse the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. How many times we make dua to our spouse? Say, Ya Allah, forgive my wife. Ya Allah, bless my wife. Or Ya Allah, bless my husband. Do we do that? That's the right. That's in simple, plain English, the right. If you both go to the same bed, and you both eat from the same plate, who if you do not do the dua and ask the forgiveness from Allah to your spouse, who will do it? وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Hold on to these two, mawaddah, the highest level of friendship, and rahmah, be the source of preventing harm and bringing good to your spouse. You try that, and the spouse trying that, see what kind of a blessing both of you will enjoy. Seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and acceptance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering.
Amen.
Forgive our sin. And bless our families.
Amen.
And help us to be a better spouse.
Amen.
And to help us to be a better people to our own spouses. And help us to help ourselves and our spouses to be more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amen.
And help us to help each other to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter inshaAllah will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibad Allah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.